Father, we pray that you teach us from your word, by your Holy Spirit, equip us to live all the lives and do all the good that you have for us to do. And we pray that as we serve you, that you would be building your church and that we can be a blessing to our neighbours. In your name, amen. Has anyone heard of the town of, I think this is how you pronounce it, Kyle? Has anyone heard of the town of Kyle? It's in Belgium. I heard about this town earlier this year, it's the first time, when Amy and I attended a church mental health summit. Kyle has the world's longest running mental health ministry. And the story goes back to the 7th century when an Irish princess named Dimfa, her mum died, and her father's grief led to his mental breakdown to the point where he actually wanted to marry his own daughter. Now, so Dimfna fled the village, to the village of Kyle to escape, and there she built a hospice to care for the poor and sick in the area. But tragically, her father tracked her down and actually killed her. Anyway, so it's a bit of a sad story. But Dimfna's story continued to be passed down orally until the 13th century, when she was canonized as the patron saint of those suffering mental illness. In the Christian tradition of pilgrimage, people who were mentally unwell began to travel to Kyle from all over Europe to pray in the church of St. Dimfna. And also in the pilgrimage tradition, local people started opening their homes and their dinner tables to show hospitality and to accommodate these pilgrims. And that ministry actually continues to this day, 700 years later, with a modern psychiatric centre at the heart of the town and patients still staying with town residents. It's a wonderful impact, example of the impact the church can have in following Jesus' command to love your neighbour as yourself. Now, this sermon isn't about care for those with mental health issues. That's for another day. Rather, I tell this story as an example of what God is doing in the world through his church. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before all people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." A recent report found that nearly 40% of Tasmanians were served by the church last year. And that was based on a survey of only 45% of churches and faith-based organisations here. Imagine if they'd surveyed everyone. The church is the greatest volunteer organisation on earth. Through the church, we encounter God's love and light in Jesus. Through the church, we learn how to be disciples of Jesus, how to love God and how to love our neighbours. And as the church, we are sent out as salt and light. And you get to be a part of that. Through the church, you get to be a part of the body of Christ. Through the church, you get to be a part of what God is doing in his world. Through the church, you can make a difference, even here at St. George's. Today we're looking at one of Paul's favourite metaphors for the church, the body of Christ. And he uses this picture to describe the church in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. He writes in Romans, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Paul uses the picture of the body to make several points. All the parts of the body are different, but they all belong to each other. So we're all different, we all have different gifts, but that doesn't make one of us superior to the others or anything like that. Likewise, we need each other in the body. We can't go it alone. But the point I want to make this morning is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Holy Spirit has given each one of us gifts, and he wants us to use those gifts to serve the common good. And this morning I want to explore just briefly two points, the gifts of the Spirit and the common good. As soon as we hear that phrase, the gifts of the Spirit, my guess is that most of us think of the more supernatural gifts of the Spirit, like those that Paul actually lists here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10, things like healing and prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, that sort of thing. And for the Corinthians, such obviously supernatural gifts were part and parcel of the Christian life. But they become kind of a matter of competition in the church in Corinth to the neglect of the deeper and universal call of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit to love one another. One of the things I love about St. George's is our diversity. We come from all sorts of different church backgrounds, not to mention different cultures and languages. And the temptation for some of us may be to dismiss the supernatural gifts entirely. For you, if that's you, the challenge may be that you need to wake up and see what God is at work amongst us by his Spirit here and now. Some of us do speak in tongues. And I have to say, I certainly pray for healing when I go and visit people in hospital or in their homes. And we often pray for healing for members of our parish in morning prayer time on Zoom, which you're very welcome to come to, by the way. But are these supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit the only gifts of the Spirit? Well, there's a number of different lists of gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. None of them's exhaustive. But you may be surprised to learn that in these, there are some very unmiraculous gifts that are included. Things like serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, leadership, showing mercy, even administration. Now, administration sounds entirely unspiritual, but I can tell you, church life absolutely needs administration. Without the administrative gifts that Amy brings to our team, we would be in a mess. And for me, they seem quite miraculous, I have to say. Anyway, for our last example, let's look at two people from the Old Testament that you've probably never heard of until this morning, perhaps. Bezalel and Aholiab. Last week we met Eldad and Medad. Today, Bezalel and Aholiab. Anyway, I don't know. Andrew and Mary, I don't know what sex your baby's going to be, but here's a couple of options for boys' names. Anyway, so we met them in our Old Testament reading, Exodus 35. Did you notice what Moses said? It was through the Spirit that Bezalel and Aholiab were given wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills. And their job was to use these gifts to design and build the tabernacle, that sacred tent where God would meet with his people. What's more, through the Spirit, they were given the ability to teach others, to pass on those skills to others. And so in the next chapter, we find Bezalel and Aholiab leading this enormous team of skilled artists and craftspeople working together to build the tabernacle. I love this picture here. Two consummate artists, their skill and creativity, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. They put these gifts to work, building a beautiful space for people to worship God. They train others, passing on their craft and their wisdom as they go. This too is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's a little window kind of pointing forward to the church. We're the temple of God. God's given each one of us gifts. And together as we use them, the temple grows and we become a beautiful place where we come together to worship God. Artistic skill, healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, serving, administration, everything in between, they're all gifts of the Spirit. In fact, whatever ability or gift you have is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And what's more, even if you don't think you have a gift, what does Paul say? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, everyone is gifted by the Spirit, even you. But what if you don't know what your gift is? Who hasn't asked that? Well, to answer that question, we first need to ask, what are the gifts of the Spirit for? And that brings us to point two, for the common good. What does Paul say? To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Apostle Peter puts it like this, each one should use whatever gift they've received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Or again, in Ephesians, Paul writes, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The Spirit has given each one of us gifts as we use them to serve others, playing our part in the body, so the body will grow. That is, each member will grow, and together we will grow. And that's the common good. So today's Serving Sunday, we've heard about some of the different ways you can serve at church, and we're about to hear some more. None of them, of course, is any more important than another. There are all sorts of different gifts employed there, and we only grow as each part does its work. Now, that idea of the common good, I have to say, it doesn't need to be limited to church. It spills over into the rest of society. In fact, that's where we get, Australia is the Commonwealth of Australia. That word Commonwealth is actually just common good, the ancient Anglo-Saxon word commonweal, or good, health. Anyway, so it spills over to the rest of society. The question is, how can I serve the common good of my neighbour, my community, maybe even my country or the world, with the gifts that the Holy Spirit's given me? Those gifts may include where you were born, what family you grew up in, what education you've received, what opportunities you've been given, what training you've done, but also how you're wired, what gets you excited. We can think of people like William Wilberforce dedicating his life to the abolition of slavery, or Martin Luther King campaigning for civil rights. That's kind of on a global scale. But then it's right here at church as well, serving in all sorts of little ways. So while you can serve the common good both inside and outside the church, it's in the church that you will learn the character that you'll need to deploy these gifts you've been given in service. The body grows as each member uses their gifts, but the gifts can only soar to their full potential when they are offered in love. They can only find their true use when they're offered in humble service. And we learn to do this as we come together. We encounter Jesus, the Lord of love, who poured out his life in humble service on the cross for you and for me. So gifts are nothing without a heart of love. And so the question then is not what are my gifts, but actually what are the needs around me? And how can I serve in my current life stage and package? As you ask those questions, begin to serve here at church, the Holy Spirit will equip you and show you the gifts he's given. It's okay to have a go and work out, actually, I'm really not gifted in that area. Just try something else. The Spirit is using all these things to shape your character. But you won't discover his gifts if you don't serve. Age or ability are not a barrier. I read on Facebook several years ago a lovely post from our bishop about his mum. She's a resident in a nursing home, and chatting and praying with other downcast and lonely residents, she decided, okay, let's organise with the carers a monthly trip to church with others for worship. There's somebody still serving right to the end. Absolutely beautiful. So to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit's given for the common good. What needs do you see? What do you enjoy doing? What's your availability? Get serving. And you begin to see actually the Holy Spirit at work in you. That's actually the best way to experience the Holy Spirit. It's by getting in and having a go and find the joy that it is to serve our King and his world for the common good. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you we are so blessed. You have given us so much. Christ, our Saviour, dying for us. And then you pour out your Holy Spirit on us, your presence and power at work in our lives, and you equip us with gifts to serve you. So please, Father, help us to be conscious of the needs around, to ask, how can I serve? And Father, equip us and help us as we serve, that together we may grow, the body may grow, and your name be glorified. Amen.